Okay, so I'm Dr. Whitney Griffin, and I'm a lecturer at Texas A&M University, and that means I am a 100% teaching appointment, and it's awesome because I get to focus on my students. But it's kind of cool also because when I have annual reviews with my department head, Dr. Leinberger, he'll say, hey, do you want to try this cool thing where you take this science core course and make an online version of it? And then I get to try to do that. And he asked me that my very first annual review. And I thought, okay, I'm going to figure out how to make this work. And I'm going to be completely honest, I was skeptical about teaching anything online, really. It was terrible. But I couldn't imagine how it would work, especially horticulture, and especially a horticulture class that fulfills a core science requirement for our university. But I think I figured it out. So at Texas A&M, all of our students have to graduate with at least 3 hours of a core science course. And a lot of non-science majors get really intimidated by science, and they scare themselves over it because they hear all of the horror stories about chemistry and physics and all of the weed-out courses for pre-med and pre-pharm, and it doesn't have to be that bad. And when we start on the first day, and they go into it, and they're like, okay, I'm going to be a scientist when I come out of this. And they have all of these preconceived notions about what science is and what horticulture is. And so then I had to take that and put it online. And so that's what I did. So a review of Hort 201 is... every fall and spring is when it's taught, and they typically have about 350 registrants. They're limited only by the number of seats in the classroom, which is what led us to say, hey, maybe we should offer this online because we can have more seats. And I don't know how your universities work, but at our university, if you have an online course, you can charge what's called differential tuition. And then it can become an income source for your department. It's great. It covers concepts from biology, chemistry, physics. It's basically kind of introductory plant physiology. We all know what that course looks like. And it utilizes a free online textbook. The really fun part of this is I'm not the traditional face-to-face teacher. So Dr. David Reed teaches that face-to-face course, and he wrote the online book. It was great because it's open source, and I could go ahead and integrate that into the course. But I had to kind of wrap my brain around what he was actually doing. And so when I started developing this course, I started with the course content. I just dove into the actual book, and he shared everything with me and showed me how he had everything structured. And I had to develop that and break it down into modules. And so when you're delivering online content, that's where you can lose online students. And has anyone in this classroom or in this room ever taken an online course? Yeah, so I went through an online teaching certification through Texas A&M, and all of our online teaching certification courses were online courses. And I think they did that so that we would have to experience what our students experienced. If you haven't taken an online course and you're going to teach online, take an online course because you'll see lots of things that maybe you should do or shouldn't do. So first, there are video lectures. So I used multiple camera angles. That was one thing that was really important to me. I didn't want to be a floating head. And it's so much easier to do this than you might think. So I had a Canon EOS just on a tripod and then two GoPro Hero 5s. If I were going to go back and do it now, I honestly think I would just go straight GoPros because the Hero 5 and 6 series uses 1080p high-definition video. It's a $400 camera. I mean, it can do it. Literally, I love the video out of my GoPros better than I like the video quality out of my Canon. The one thing the Canon can do that the GoPro can't is it has the little screen that I can flip and face me so I can see myself on the screen and make sure everything looks kind of okay. So I spliced those videos together using Camtasia. Camtasia is the video editing software that our university uses, and a lot of universities use that. Super easy to do. Hey. Okay. And then I do some voiceover presentations with PowerPoint. I hate doing this. I'm in the process of, I think I have 4 lectures now that are voiceover slides that it's sometimes it's just a really boring topic, and that's the best way to deliver it. I'm trying to think of better ways to do it. Sometimes you just have to give them the information, especially if it's at a molecular level, and let them kind of fight through it. But I limit those to 5-minute bursts. If it goes over 5 minutes, they're not going to watch it. You just give up. They're not. They're going to, like, put it on mute, or they're going to play on YouTube in the background while they play Candy Crush on their phones, and they haven't learned anything. And then I do lightboard lectures. Has anyone in this room ever used a lightboard? It's the coolest thing ever. You have to do it backwards. It's kind of because it's filming you backwards. But our university has a studio with a lightboard in it, and anyone can use that studio anytime they want in 4-hour chunks. And it's great. They even have the video camera set up. So all of my processes, like photorespiration, respiration, and photosynthesis, I did all of that on a light board so that I could talk and draw the processes at the same time. And then for software and graphics, I used some flat images. These are examples of the flat images that were created for my course. And I also had some animations used or developed. Now, this is one of the other images. When you're going through, if you're going to have a graphic artist redo images for you, go find samples of what you want done via Google Images and send that to your graphic artist and just tell them, this is kind of what I'm going for. These are the things I need changed. That's not copyright infringement. It's just a time saver, and it's using inspiration. So that's what I did. Animations, everything is hosted through YouTube, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on. I wasn't sure what the internet situation would be like, so I didn't embed the animation in this talk, but I have some screen grabs. So these are just the light reactions. This is a 4-minute animation, and then once the graphic artist actually created the animation and delivered it to me, I did the narration myself using a Camtasia screen grab. So we should all recognize this. These are Photo System 2, Photo System 1. Everything is labeled, so he was able to put labels in there for me so that no one can get confused. I don't have to go back in and put labels. Everything was super easy to do. And then creating my actual course content tips. If you're going to do a video, write a script for it. If you're up in front of a classroom in person, it's really easy to kind of digress, but then you remember, oh, I have to talk about this other thing. If you don't have a script or at least a bullet point list of what you need to talk about in that lecture, you could forget. It happened to me, and then I had to go back and redo one of my videos because I forgot this really important concept. So have a script. Images, like I just said, find examples of what you want if you're going to use a graphic artist. And if you're freaking out about the cost, it's not that expensive. That differential tuition that we talked about, well, you can use that to have images updated. And you don't have to do it all at once. You can just update things as you go. My graphic artist for images is $25 per hour. And he's really fast, and he's really good. Animations, find examples. I just found some examples of what I wanted and just said, hey, I really don't like this whole 3 minutes of this, but this little 1.5-minute section is pretty cool, except I don't need to teach my students this, this, and this, so we can take that out, and we were able to work through it really easily. Content delivery. So a lot of online courses in the old days, I think when online content delivery first started, was just posting a PowerPoint online, and that was your online teaching. And you just made the online PowerPoints available, and it was up to your students to figure it out for themselves. And I didn't want to do that with an online science course. So we use Blackboard, eCampus, powered by Blackboard at Texas A&M. This is how my online course is structured. This is my view, so all of my units are here, so I have 10 modules here. I hide them until the module opens. But this is the start page. So the very first time students ever click on the course, on hopefully before the first day, but let's be real, they wait until the first day of the semester. This is what they see. And it says start here. And it tells them all of the really most important things that they need to know so they can find everything. And there's a video linked there now on that start here page that says, here's how you navigate the course. And they click on that. And it's literally a video of myself talking them through where to click on different things. This is what Unit 1 would look like if I was using eCampus for my content delivery. So every module has the actual module and then additional resources. And those additional resources are just things that they might find interesting from YouTube. YouTube or it's vocabulary words that are important. The really important thing is that everything is formatted the same way. So every module is formatted exactly the same way. So after the first time they go through a module, they know where to go to find things. Here's some additional resources. And then this is the student view for the first module. As soon as they clicked on the student view, they can see here exactly how many pages that they have to go through. So if that student only has 20 minutes that evening to devote, they can look at those pages and say, okay, I can go through three of these tonight because I can't move on to the next pages until I've done everything on this page. And then they can go back the next evening. There's where their pages are, and they can move forward by clicking on page forward. So this is an example of what my content looked like when I first started. Here's an embedded lecture. Everything's embedded through YouTube because it's easier to caption. And then I decided I wanted to do it interactive, so I was able to get a grant through our university, and part of that grant offered help with our ITS online instructional designers. And so they took my online content and created interactive SCORM packages. So a SCORM package is basically, it's like PowerPoint, everything is in slides, but you can make it interactive. Lectora, Storyline are the two most popular ones. So this is the same exact information, but it just looks cooler and the kids are a little bit more engaged in it. This is the same information that I showed you from the eCampus page, except now it kind of looks more like a web page, and they have to click on things to find out where they need to go next. The lectures are still embedded through the links through YouTube, except now I can also build in interactive formative assessment. So this is just a pick-em activity. This doesn't feed back to the gradebook. I have activities that do feed back into the gradebook, but I can have practice activities that don't. For accessibility, captioning, I always use YouTube. I tried Camtasia. You can train Camtasia to understand what you say. Camtasia does not speak Southern accent. So I tried for a whole week, and it wouldn't work. And so then I tried YouTube. And the quickest YouTube ever did it for me was half an hour. But usually by the next day, once you've uploaded your video to YouTube, you'll have captions there. Now, they're still not accessible. To be accessible, you have to have proper spelling, capitalization, and grammar. But all of the words are there, and they're usually about 90% correct. It takes me 5 to 10 minutes to go through and clean those up, make them accessible. Whereas with Camtasia, it would be 20 to 30 minutes for a 5-minute video. It was terrible. And then certain activities are not accessible, and these are where the ITS designers were really helpful. Drag and drop activities, it's really hard to make those accessible for visually impaired students without giving the answer away. So instead of doing drag and drop, we just had drop-down boxes in the right place where the students pick what it is. And an auditory or a visually impaired student could have that read through them so they could then still pick the right answer. And then my overall timeline, just for reference. So December 15 was when I was asked to first start doing this. Spring of 16 was when I completed the online teaching certification. Summer of 16, now if you're teaching the course already, you could just wipe this whole summer out. That summer of 16 was when I really oriented myself with the course material, and I created lists of lists of lists, lists of graphics I needed, lists of animations I needed, how I was going to organize my lectures, which lectures I needed to film. Was there a certain time of year I needed to film different things to go into those lectures? Fall of 16 was when I applied for the university grant. I won it spring of 17, and that's when I got to purchase all the fancy video equipment, so I didn't have to check it out from the library. And summer of 17 was when I actually started crossing off all of the lists. That was when my graphics vendors started creating graphics. I started filming all of my lecture material, splicing it together, editing it, doing all of the voiceover captions. So by fall of 17, my course was ready. It was online. It was ready to go. And then fall 17, spring 18 was when my ITS instructional designers actually created the fun, interactive, cool Lectora SCORM packages. And the course is being taught this semester for the first time. The students will take their final exams next week, and I've been doing online proctoring through Examity. That's usually a question I get. So do y'all have any questions at all? Yes, ma'am? So a light board is, it's just like a chalkboard, except it's got clear glass on it, and you write on it with fluorescent dry erase markers, and everything is front lit and back lit. So if you've ever seen Khan Academy YouTube videos, that's usually what they use. Those fluorescent markers light up on the camera with a black background. So the students see me, and they see me drawing while I'm facing the camera. Instead of having my back to the camera and trying to turn around and talk, I can talk to them through the glass as I'm writing. Backwards. Yes, ma'am? This is how my summer salary is covered with that magical differential tuition.
Okay, so you have summer salary, except some of the stuff that talks about fall and spring.
I just did it while I was teaching my other four classes.
So what's your teaching load?
9 hours is full time, but I typically teach 12 to 14 hours a semester.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you very much.